This week on It's So Bad, we take on futuristic racing with a Super Nintendo launch title with F-Zero here on It's So Bad. Welcome, Steve, Matt.
What's up, Mike?
We're back again.
Subscribe to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. We're adding this week F-Zero, the fast, futuristic racing game.
Frictionless.
To the endless list, which is our list of games. Right now it goes from number one, Super Mario 64, all the way down to number 52, Jurassic Park Trespasser. And we have a lot of games on our list. Last week we added Super Metroid, which is our new number 8 game as of last week. And the list is judged by how good the game is, okay? How the graphics are for its time period, how it fits into the overall history of video games. Did it add to the legacy that is video games? How influential was it to other games? How's the soundtrack? How's the aesthetic? How's everything put together? Everything. Is this a really worthwhile game? Did we enjoy it more than other games? Everything. We consider everything when we're adding these games to our endless list. And what is F-Zero? So, let's take this one.
F-Zero is a futuristic, kind of dystopian racing game.
Fourth time we said futuristic.
It's in the future, if that's not clear.
It's dystopian?
I don't know. It seems dystopian to me.
It is supposed to be dystopian.
Oh.
This is a little bit of me reading about it and a little bit of me just crashing into people and blowing them up and everyone cheering as I do it.
It's like pod racing, kind of.
It is like pod racing.
It's like shitty pod racing.
Isn't pod racing like shitty pod racing?
Did you guys read the comic in the manual?
Sure did.
I did not, no.
Did you notice how Captain Falcon, in the span of 10 minutes, acquires two bounties and gets to the starting line?
Because he's a bounty hunter, too.
I know. But yeah, there's two bounty hunters, right?
Yeah, Samurai Goro is also a bounty hunter.
Right, what an awesome name. Samurai Goro.
By the way, at the end of that comic, Dr. Stewart's quote says, I shall win to honor beautiful women everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, he's clearly the...
He's an egalitarian.
You know what kind of guy Dr. Stewart is.
So there's four characters that you can play as. Captain Falcon, who drives the Blue Falcon. Samurai Goro, who flies the Fire Stingray. Dr. Stewart, who flies Golden Fox. Mm-hmm. And Pico, who's an alien.
He kind of looks like Piccolo. Did you notice that? He's like Piccolo with like an elongated head. He also hates anything with red blood. According to the comic.
He drives the Wild Goose.
Delved into the lore.
Did you know, okay, well, this is getting a little bit further than I would like, but did you know there's an anime? There's an F-Zero anime.
When did it come out?
2003.
See, what did they do with all this lore and backstory and world building between F-Zero and F-Zero X or whatever the next game was?
I think it's F-Zero X.
So they didn't do much with F-Zero X, but GX, which is the GameCube one, has a story mode that's pretty good. It's really ridiculously hard.
It just seems like the lore of F-Zero is kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
I like the characters and the world and the comic in the manual.
That's why I was pulled into this game.
And it's, like, wasted.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a little bit more storytelling to this racing game.
It's a bummer.
This game is a glorified tech demo.
Yeah, this game is not that good.
It is a showcase of Mode 7 on Super Nintendo. That's what it's designed for.
Yeah. Yeah, I played F-Zero X originally. I loved that game on the Nintendo 64.
I played F-Zero. I played back in the day. I didn't own it. Maybe I owned it. I don't know if I owned it.
I think I may have played F-Zero occasionally, like at a friend's house, like when I was younger. But I saw it pop up on the Nintendo Switch as part of the Super Nintendo package.
So ways you can play this game again. It's very similar to what we discussed last week with Super Metroid. It's on now the Nintendo Switch Online, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System on there. So you can play this game on there. You can also play this game on your 3DS. You can play it's like a $5 download off the Virtual Console. You can play this game on your Wii U. You can play this game on the original Super Nintendo. It's a lot of ways you can play this game. Developed by Nintendo EAD, published by Nintendo. The guy who directed this, Kazunobu Shimizu, he also made a whole bunch of racing games for the Nintendo. He made F1 Race, which was came out in Japan only, as well as Famicom Grand Prix 2, which was a Famicom Disk System game. And then he went on to work on this game. He was heavily influenced by Mach Rider 2 on the NES. Do you guys know that game?
Nope. That game.
You know that game? So that game, really weird. There was a time period in the 80s. I remember this because I'm older than you guys. So we had the Nintendo. My dad would randomly come home with games that he just wanted to play.
Hmm.
I was like,
I do that too.
That's alien to me with my parents.
Yeah, yeah. But the Nintendo was the only system where he did that, and then he fell off. So he came home with like Top Gun one day, and that's how everybody had Top Gun. Paperboy was the game he came home with.
Like, you're dangerous, Dad.
Yeah. I remember I used to go into play this Nintendo, and there'd be a different game in there. I'd never see him playing because he'd play when we went to bed, and then. There'd be a different game in the system. I'd be like, oh, my dad's playing Top Gun, I see.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so.
Volleyball mode.
I wish that game was that interesting.
That'd be awesome. Really funny.
Why doesn't it have?
If it had volleyball, like the NES volleyball.
Yeah.
So this game came out in November of 1990 in Japan and 1991 in North America. In 1990, you had Super Mario Brothers 3 coming out in North America, Dr. Mario, Mega Man 3, and then... November of 1990 is when Super Mario World Pilot Wings came out in Japan. So, this game.
So,
this game.
It was on a launch lineup in North America that included Super Mario World, better game. Pilot Wings, better game. Matt's raising his arms up in victory. He's successfully convinced people that...
cleared a low bar.
Yes. Gradius 3 was also... Ooh. That time period.
Also a better game.
What game?
Gradius 3.
Super slowdown on Super Nintendo.
I always thought that was... intentional? I kind of interpreted that as intentional.
I don't think it was intentional.
Because there are certain parts where there are so many bullets flying over all over the screen that it kind of...
Somebody did a ROM hack recently where that game is... I don't know if it's a ROM hack, but they like improve the processing speed on the emulator to make it adjust for how slow that game is.
Right.
SimCity was also a launch title in North America for.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah. That was also a good game. I just recently played Link's Awakening on the Switch, and they changed Will Wright's name, who's a character in Link's Awakening.
I didn't know he was in Link's Awakening.
Yeah, because he's like the character with the green hair in SimCity, right? Yeah. And he's also in Link's Awakening. But they changed his name from Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, to... W-R-I-T-E. Probably for copyright reasons, probably. I would imagine.
Copyright or right?
Yes. So, this 9 people worked on this game.
9?
9.
It's impressive.
Do you know why the vehicles hover?
I do, because I read the notes.
The pragmatic reason.
I mean, does it have something to do with animating? Oh, could they not get the wheels...
They wanted to save on animation, so they got rid of the wheels.
And they wanted to put it in a futuristic dystopian space thing.
I bet it would be difficult, though, to have like animating wheels on each car of the cars that pass you.
Yeah.
To have them like scaling down as they...
Yeah, so you have to animate all of that.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
I
mean, also it's cooler to not have wheels.
Yes, well...
Frictionless.
Sure. They also designed Captain Falcon to be the mascot, not just of F-Zero, but the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
I didn't know him until Nintendo 64.
Yeah, because of that.
So we started Falcon punching him. Oh.
So there was like a lot of captains. Weird. But there was a captain for Capcom.
It's a mid-tier rank, so yeah.
Yeah, there was like mascots who were named Captain everywhere.
Oh, Captain Commando.
Yes.
Captain Kangaroo.
Right.
And then he got his own game.
Right.
but he was for a long time he was just a mascot of the company for some reason.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Captain Hook. He started as a Marvel versus Capcom fighter for me, and then I kind of went backwards. And
no, I remember going to a roller skating rink and seeing the baby win the mech in Captain Commando, the fighting game. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, this is the greatest fighting game ever. But yeah, so this game is set in 2560.
Future.
The future.
Isn't it something where it's like on Earth, but don't they like go back to Earth?
Isn't there like nuclear war or something like
so
that?
So from what I understand, and I have not watched the anime, but which probably is very dramatic and ridiculous, but aliens visit Earth. It causes a major disruption.
Right.
It turns into a dystopian world for some reason.
Because who would stay on Earth if you could go elsewhere?
No, I think it's just the aliens fuck shit up for some reason. Okay. And then like the corporations, in order to entertain the people, they make F-Zero.
Right.
That's what the idea
is. Yeah, like, we have this brand new idea for cars that go faster than each other.
I would say the interesting part about this game, so this game is 15 tracks divided into three leagues, Knight, Queen, King, four different difficulties, beginner, standard, expert, and then if you beat expert, you get unlock master. Races consist of five laps. The interesting thing about, I think, there's a couple interesting things about this game. The sense of speed you have when you're going through the track is like very good. It's very fast.
Yeah, you do feel like you're tearing around.
Yeah, for games of that time period, and thinking about games we've played for this, like Super Hang-On, the sense of speed is much greater.
I went back and played Super Hang-On because, A, I didn't realize they came out of Europe part initially.
They did not.
It was 89 and 90, no?
Super Hang-On came out, I believe, earlier than that. Super Hang-On came out originally in 1987 for the arcades.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Genesis version is 89, right. Anyway, point being, it feels so much better in F-Zero. It's like,
yeah,
it is, I mean, I think the biggest leap for me for F-Zero is just how much of a tighter controlling racing game it is.
That is
compared to every other racing game I've played earlier.
The other thing is that it's super tight.
It just feels good.
And you can especially see that when there are right corner angle turns and multiple in a row, and you have to go around that. And making those turns feels, well, it is hard, but it's not too hard.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part in this game on higher difficulties is when you encounter opponents and they fuck you up. Yep. If you just go around the track without anybody, it's not, it would take you a little bit maybe to master each race. But really throws in the monkey wrenches is you have other opponents. And you have the other guys, the other three characters who are named, and then you have the random red shirts who are in this game.
Just to explode.
Just to explode and fuck you up. But yes, beyond the really tight curves and the really sharp turns that you have to make is you have... There's slow down areas where you don't get up to full speed. There's obstacles that will blow up like mines. You have a life bar, a power meter that you can recharge.
There's like a pit crew that you go through, but it's just like a recharge.
Yeah, well, a thing flies overhead and fills you up with energy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
Induction.
Energy through induction. Yep. Oh, you're an engineer. You know these words.
It is, it's an induction.
It's the future.
There's the magnet. I thought the magnet like that rails pulls. Were kind of a cool mechanic.
There's like the wind on one of them too.
The
crosswind.
The track was named Wind something, like Fire Breeze or Fire Wind. Fire I think. Wind.
I mean, those mechanics, I think they do a good job of making, you know, adding a layer of complexity that the game desperately needs.
Yes, it needs more. It also needs a multiplayer mode. This is only a single player game.
This game would be so much fun with multiplayer.
Yeah. I'm kind of stunned to think about it not being multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder about the development cycle and, you know, it was a launch title. They had a very firm release date probably. Like,
but it's a racing game. Like, if you're not playing against somebody else, what's
I mean, the point? Super Hang-On doesn't have versus mode.
I've never played that.
But I'm saying there's not, you know, it's not like I don't know what between this and Super Mario Kart had multiplayer modes, but you know, it's not like every racing game had them at the time.
Right. There are jumps. So one of the things that annoyed the shit out of me is there's one course, I think, on the last Grand Prix where you have to make a really long jump.
Yeah, gap.
It's incredibly hard for the first lap when you don't have a super jump.
Yep.
That's difficult. But
you can pitch up and down.
Yeah. So if you pitch up, you don't lose speed. If you pitch down, then I don't think you can...
You just, like, slam back down.
And you, like, bounce. If you hit the sides, you get damaged, etc.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I like this game. This game grew on me. At first, I was like, oh, this is kind of just a very generic sci-fi racer.
But if you think about it, what sci-fi racers existed before?
Exactly. This game? Yeah. I mean, the context is important. I think not enough can be said just how good it feels.
Yeah, the controls are one of the strongest parts.
I think it just it still feels good.
If you compare these controls to something like Super Hang-On, it's so much tighter.
Insane.
Yes.
But it is kind of a flat game. Like, there's not a lot going on in it.
No,
like,
no.
It's a racing game, so you can criticize racing games
for, right, yeah,
in that respect. But
at the same time...
I mean, you know, the visual design, like, all the complex, you know, art going on. Like, it is stark, and we keep going back to Super Hang-On just because it's on the list. But it's like, to compare those two games, it's pretty big difference.
Big leap, yeah.
Can I ask, this is just to... satisfy me, but what racers did you guys use?
Racers?
Yeah.
I mean, I used all of them. Generally, I liked...
who's your main?
The green guy.
The green guy?
Piccolo.
Captain Falcon, yeah.
Yeah, I started off back in the day as a wee lad. I was a Samurai Goro man, and I started off as Samurai Goro. But then I quickly learned that if you are not hitting every corner as Samurai Goro, you're fucked.
It's like being Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he's got the highest high end, but he's also got the lowest acceleration. Yeah. If you're Blue Falcon, Blue Falcon's like top tier speed with acceleration. Mm-hmm. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, and because then, I would constantly find myself in like the gravel or something, like on a curve, but you can catch right back up.
Pico's the tank, so you can like bounce into walls, no problem, and destroy everything.
And hit other people too, which is kind of cool.
And he's got a good high top speed, but his acceleration sucks.
No.
And then Golden Fox is...
Dr. Stewart?
He's basically the Mario. He's the all-rounder. Yeah. He's always... I don't know if you guys had this experience, but he was always in first.
Oh, I noticed Captain Falcon was always in first.
Because I played as Captain Falcon for majority.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they have like a rival for each character. And
Who's the green guy? Is that Goro?
Pico.
Piccolo.
Oh, it's Pico. I think he's the one who's usually in first when I played.
He was never in first for me.
I don't know. I might be making that
I would say, though, that the five laps was a bit much. Should have been like three or four.
Well, I like that. As the difficulty increases, it's not easy to just get in first immediately.
Right.
I did like the staggering, like each lap they cut, you know, X amount of the bottom ranks in the lap.
Right.
That at least adds like tension to each lap. You know, it's not like, oh, okay, the only goal here is to get to first place.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the courses aren't that varied. So doing five laps of them can get a little stale.
Yeah. I will say this series goes places. Have you guys played GX, the GameCube one?
No. I looked at footage of X or whatever the N64 one is.
The N64 one is you know, it's a good game, but it's not as... GX is like... The design of the tracks is insane.
It's like Trackmania-esque.
A little bit.
Is it like, I keep thinking about like Mute City on Mario Kart 8. Like, is it that kind of, is that pretty faithful to what GX is like?
I don't remember what Mute City's like.
I always think of...
it's just like, you know,
the Smash levels.
It's these, it's kind of...
it's like loops and stuff.
Loops and like kind of these...
almost like what a Hot Wheels car
cylinders,
would be on.
Yeah, these cylinders. Yeah. Like, since you're connecting them, you can go all the way around and upside down on them.
That's
what...
and then it twists and turns and has... So these cylinders that you can go all the way around
it must be similar then to that. Yeah.
It's very, very, very wild.
Yeah, I've been trying to find a copy of GX. I was trying to emulate it and couldn't do it. But that's like really, really high on the list to play.
So there's five sequels to this game. There's X, GX, there's Maximum Velocity, which is a GBA game. GP Legend and Climax, which are both GBA games. This game is a dormant franchise, unfortunately.
I know. I'm surprised they haven't announced something for Switch. Or...
So the thing about it is that Nintendo does this thing where they have a game in a genre and they don't want to have it compete with other games in the genre, and they don't want to waste those development resources. So they see Mario Kart as this game.
Yeah.
They also, the same thing happens with Advance Wars, and people have been clamoring for that game to come back. And they're like, well, we have Fire Emblem. So.
Right.
That's the kind of the go-to Nintendo thing now.
I think Nintendo likes to also build up a lot of, like, a fever pitch of hype for these games when they eventually do bring them back.
Yeah.
So, like, we just talked about Super Metroid. I think they're going to do Metroid Prime 3 soon, right? Like, people have been clamoring for that.
I think that's, like, largely unintentional. And I think it's just Nintendo... focus
their time.
They have tunnel vision on certain things, and then they move over when they, after years, they'll get bored with one thing and they'll go to another thing.
Yeah. Like, have people been asking for another Metroid game? Oh, we don't even know about that. Yeah,
that game's crazy. Metroid Prime 4 is crazy. They stopped. They were going through development for like 3 years with one team, and they stopped it completely, and they switched it to another development team.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I mean, the assumptions, they basically started over, right?
Yes. You know. Yeah.
That we'll not hear anything for years.
We'll probably hear something next year, I would imagine, because they started it at the beginning of this right. year. So probably by the end of next year.
They'll show a logo again.
Yeah. So, 5 sequels. There's also an arcade game around the time of GX, which is interesting. So, GX was made by Sega. AX was also made by Sega as an arcade game. Those games were made by the same team that made Daytona USA.
It's funny. I was picturing how cool it would be if there was an F-Zero, like, where they had 8 cabinets next to each other, like Daytona.
They have it.
That sounds awesome.
AX.
Where do you play that?
I don't think you can play any. You have to go back in time 15 years ago, because okay. It came out in, like, 2003.
Oh, wow. Travel past that. We're all about the future on this pod.
But, yeah, so... this game has a history behind it. It developed into a little bit of a legacy. There was also the, I don't know if you guys know about the Satellaview in Japan. So there was a thing you could connect to the internet. It's called the Satellaview. It was a cartridge that went into the Super Nintendo, and then you plugged in your modem.
Phone line or whatever.
Yeah, and then you plugged in the cartridge on top of that, and you could add... You could download games, so they had.
So it wasn't anything for multiplayer or anything like that.
No, so you could. So there was like Link to the Past got like an unofficial sequel, but F-Zero got 2 games. They were called BS F-Zero, which is Broadcast Satellite F-Zero.
Of course.
1 and 2, which were a couple. They had downloadable Grand Prix. There was additional Grand Prix that were made for this.
That's not what this game needs. It needs multiplayer.
And more guys to choose from, probably.
More guys to choose from. It could use some kind of, like, upgrade system or some...
Progression.
Some kind of progression.
Yeah.
Or continuity. Something that links races in a Grand Prix.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the racing is mechanically varied enough. That it gets, you know, it's not complex enough.
No. It just gets frustrating at the higher difficulties when guys keep bumping into you.
Yeah, and if you could have more variation on the, like, actual courses, too, where, like, things change. Like, you think about Mario Kart, like, you get to the second lap and, like, the cows are out on the racetrack now.
I don't know, though, if, I get what you mean. I don't know if Super Mario Kart had that.
They had Monty Moles that popped up.
Right, but there was not evolution to the map. It was kind of, the Monty Moles were there the whole time.
Right, but they popped up and they got in your face.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a standard.
I mean, this has hazards too.
Yeah. Right.
It would be cool.
It would be cool.
If they could do it.
I think now's the time to get into our rankings of where we see this on our list.
It's a good question.
Where do we see this on our list?
So this is our 8th Super Nintendo game, our 3rd racing game on the list, our 5th Nintendo EAD game, developed by the EAD team at Nintendo, 12th Nintendo published game, and our 3rd game from 1990. So at release, this was regarded as a very good game. It was got very high reviews. It's also been noted to be influential on the Wipeout series. Daytona USA, the people who made that, who would go on to make GX, would say that this game was influential on them.
Jet Moto, probably.
I don't know. It's a bit different.
It's like hovercraft, you know.
Yeah. But, So the things that we should note that we've already griped about is that there's no multiplayer mode in this. But I will say that the music is pretty memorable, and I don't know if it's memorable because of this game or because of the remixes that are in Smash Brothers.
I mean, the music does
get you hyped
in your brain pretty quickly. Yes. I mean, I play this not that. I mean, I played a decent amount, but I was surprised at how familiar the music felt.
Yeah, it's good.
It's very good.
It's good music.
Yeah.
So, where does this go on our list? Here.
Well,
so we've been making positive comparisons to Super Hang-On. Do we want to start at Super Hang-On and go up?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Seems fair, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that...
I mean, it's better than Super Hang-On.
I like it more than Super Hang-On. I would say the one thing that Super Hang-On has that this game doesn't have is that you have an upgrade system, but I will say that you have to beat a race 10 times in order to get move on to the next guy, which was the thing that Sega did back in the day, which was ridiculous.
It's poorly implemented. But it's there.
Right.
It shows that, like, it's in a game, right. You know, prior to this game coming out.
I would probably put it ahead of Tapper. I feel like I get a more... I would say that it has a similar thing where I'm very satisfied when I play that game. The satisfaction you get from playing the game is similar to me. But I think that F-Zero is a bigger experience than Tapper.
Yeah.
Because making, like, tight turns versus, like, making pours, it feels the same to
me. Right.
Same dopamine rush.
No, you're right. Like, when you nail a maneuver in this game, it feels really good.
Right.
It doesn't... You're just, like, flying through a corner or, you know...
And the one thing I will say about this game is you cannot gripe about the controls.
No. Yeah.
That's probably the strongest feature of it.
But the fact that they've aged so well is extremely impressive to me.
I would probably also put this ahead of, I don't know. Phantasmagoria is tough. Phantasmagoria is, like, a good story. It's a good point-and-click game. It can be obtuse, but it also has FMV as the people walking around, as all actors and acted out. And
Do you feel like Phantasmagoria is missing much? Like, obviously, you know, it came out at a certain time, so a certain level of quality for, like, the FMV and stuff like that is to be expected. But, like, beyond, outside of the controls, the thoughts I have about F-Zero is, like, how much it's missing and, like, how much I wish it had.
So the only thing that, the only dings that I would put on Phantasmagoria is that it is a very obtuse what to do. Unless you have played that game and know what to do, especially at the ending. So the whole game is a regular point-and-click adventure.
Yeah.
The ending, you have 30 seconds. There's a time limit, and then you keep dying over and over again.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah. So imagine a point-and-click where you had a 30-second time limit and then you figure out what to do. It's fucking...
That's tough, yeah.
Tough. And also, you can get into a situation where there are limited save slots, so you can't just, like... save at different points.
Yeah.
You get into a situation where if you get to the ending and you don't have the right items, you're stuck.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
That does suck.
But at the same time, I think it's a more complete picture than an F-Zero.
Yeah.
And while I like F-Zero, I like look above this list and I don't know if I want to put it above Theme Hospital either or Hexen.
Yeah, I mean...
What F-Zero does technically very well, graphically very well.
But it's a very shallow game.
But it's a shallow game, exactly. That, like, the experience is not that varied. Like, you talk about all of the things that are missing that you wish this game had. Like, you play it a couple of times and you're like, okay, I get it. And if you really, really like it, you can go back and play it again. But your experience is not going to change very much.
I might go back in the future to a Theme Hospital and try to play that again. That is also a game that gets samey, but you put more time into it, and I could see myself going back to it. Like, F-Zero, I might pick up and play, like, a race here or there.
That's exactly what I did before. But I picked it up, and I was like, yeah, I want to familiarize myself because I hadn't played it in a little while. I played 15 minutes.
There's also, like, not a lot of payoff, right?
Yeah.
When you beat that game.
Yeah, it just goes back to the main menu, right?
Right.
Right. So I think do we want to just put it as our new number 38?
I'm okay with that. I agree. I don't see it going much higher. I think, you know, we've talked about the controls to death. I think it's still, it should be noted how impressive of a leap visually it was from games before it.
Yeah.
Racing games before it specifically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it was a next generation racing game.
Yeah, and you talk about it as a tech demo. Like, it's a very impressive tech demo. Like,
I would even say
the tech is good.
Like, something like OutRun, which is widely regarded as very good, it's up there with that game.
Right. I think I love OutRun, but I don't love OutRun for specifically the controls or, you know, any specific detail. It's like the holistic kind of picture of
the music, the aesthetic, how you're progressing down the branches and stuff like that. Yeah. Hmm. I like that game. I love that game a lot.
It's very good.
Maybe it'll be our next racing game.
I played a lot of it in Yakuza Zero.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I played way more.
Space Harrier.
Space Harrier. Yeah. I almost beat that game in that game.
Yep. They're good games.
Good games. Good games. Sega. But yes, we're talking about F-Zero. So let's add F-Zero as our new number 38 on our endless list.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
Cool. So this has been fun, Steve, Matt,
Michael.
Thank you for joining me this today, whatever day you're listening. This day is this day.
It's in the future.
It's in the future. We are talking about the future. How many? We should go back and at the beginning, I'll edit in somebody as a drinking game. Whenever we say futuristic or future, you should take a drink.
Well, you just said future a few more times, so.
Future, future, future.
Future, future. Who's that rapper that everyone really likes? Future?
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Back to the future.
Nevertheless, thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another episode. You can follow us on the Twitter device at itsobadpod, itsobadpod@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on stuff, iTunes,
Stitcher,
Google Play.
Stitcher. Can you subscribe on Stitcher?
Yeah, you can
subscribe. I've never been to Stitcher.
I've been on Stitcher, but that was my original pod platform.
Oh, really?
But they were a little slow on the updates, so I got off them.
Podbean.
I'm on the Google Podcast app now.
Yeah, I use Podbean now.
Cool. We'll be back next week, I hope, with another episode.
Oh, we'll be here.
Oh, cool.
In the future.
Thanks, guys.